following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
The Heisman and Nissan are built on a heritage of excellence. With Nissan launching three all-new models, the legacy continues. The all-new Altima, the all-new Pathfinder, and the all-new Sentra are pulling up to the Nissan Heisman House, a fraternity made up of college football's greatest athletes, the Heismans. Only Nissan gives the fans an official vote for the next Heisman winner. Help recruit the rookie by going to NissanHeismanHouse.com to get to know the Heismans and vote.
Scott needs some new tires, but doesn't know Walmart has the brands he's looking for great low prices. So I called him.
Hi, this is Scott.
Hey, it's Earl from the Walmart commercials.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Why is it important to have new tires for the winter?
Because if you don't, it's hard to get up the driveway.
What are the top brands in your mind?
I'm looking at Goodyear. I'm looking at Michelin. I'm looking at Bridgestone.
Did you know Walmart has those brands? They even have some Goodyear on rollback.
I need to hang up right now so I can go buy some tires.
That's great. Head to Walmart.com to find your local Walmart's tire and Lube Express. And with Walmart's tires on demand, you can get 10,000 other tires and wheels on the top brands within 48 hours. See for yourself.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
That morning jog today, a little tougher than normal. Wow. Tell you what, let's go do some running. Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert with you on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Thursday. Couple of days out from Nebraska Northwestern, head football coach Pat Fitzgerald of the Wildcats will join us on the program today. Plus Thursday, Luke Hoover is in with RotoWire. He's at the end of the program. So if you've got a fantasy football question for Luke, be sure to email the program or you can simply Facebook us. Either way, Facebook at Central Nebraska's ESPN, or you can send the email to the Dent Popper inbox. They may get some business after the next couple of days blowing into vehicles. The Dent Popper on the bricks downtown Kearney. And, of course, the email address, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. High school football tonight and tomorrow. A little bit of volleyball this evening. State cross country tomorrow. And, oh, man, I hope it's not like this tomorrow. That's that's not fair. And in fact, you got to wonder, would they even... They'd have to run it, I guess. They'd have to. We're going to find out from Jim Angeli. I'm going to shoot him a note here during the break, see what they say. What if the wind is blowing like this tomorrow?
It's kind of like state track in that aspect. I think the times won't count, but you're still battling the elements. I don't think they're going to reschedule an entire state competition like that. I mean, it's one thing if it's windy. It's another thing if it's storming and there's a tornado watch and it's hailing. And they might put it on hold, but a little wind, sure, their times might not count. Some seniors might be upset trying to get a PR or a state record. But I know wind can change some things that way. But for the most part, I got to think the event's still going to go on.
Well, you take a look at what, you can't reschedule. You may move it later. We've had some really bad weather, winter-wise, out there where there's snow and ice on the course where it just poured. That was the first year I came here, made them change the course that they ran on so they didn't go right down the hill. But we'll be there tomorrow bringing you updates. It starts at 12 noon. They run the D&B, and then they'll turn around and run the C&A. Girls, boys, out there. A couple girls' races, then a couple boys' races, and back and forth they'll go. Every 30 minutes, Class A boys are last at 3:30 tomorrow. We do have Major League Baseball coming your way this afternoon here on ESPN. It's game four, the Yankees and the Tigers. That'll be followed up by our football, Kearney Catholic Gothenburg. And we've got plenty of other action tonight with St. Cecilia in action at Thayer Central. That's on 1230 KHAS. Ravenna Donovan Trumbull, that is on the Breeze 94.5. Amherst Lawrence Nelson, and that will be on Classic Hits 98.9, followed by the Friday Night Scoreboard Show Thursday edition. plus high school football tomorrow as well. But a fun time of the season as you get to see champions start being crowned.
You do, and not only district champions, which you've seen with teams like Kearney and so on already, but now it's crunch time. I just read an article by Jason Ahrens in the Kearney Hub. Kudos to him talking
Never
a little bit about undefeated football teams and how much that matters once you actually get to the playoffs. And he brings up a valid point. It's all about the schedule. It really is. And sometimes some of these teams out west have a tougher schedule than the teams out east think. You see some of those east teams come in undefeated and get knocked off by a west team and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see the whole state obviously converge once again.
And I pulled down some of the points that you go into for the NSAA, and you just kind of look at the pairings. A and B, a little bit easier to figure out because it's a statewide bracket, and you don't have to worry about east-west and where the line's getting drawn. Kearney High right now is sitting in the two spot in Class A, but their points will go down just a little bit, even with a win over North Platte tomorrow. So, but it does look like they are pretty solid, somewhere between the two and the four seed, which is very important, and obviously they want to be two or three. Stay away from Millard North until the semifinals. And the interesting thing is right now, the team that they could play in the first round, anywhere from Pius, who they've already beat, Norfolk, Grand Island, who they've taken care of, maybe a Lincoln East or a Bellevue East moves up with a win as well. But that pod of teams right now, Pius, Bellevue West, Omaha Central, Norfolk, Grand Island, Lincoln East, Bellevue East, in that little pod of teams. Mm-hmm. And I would expect it's going to be one of those next Friday.
It'll be an interesting matchup for Kearney nonetheless. I think it's going to be a team they've played this year. And I think it's even more fun if it can be Grand Island. Get that rivalry back out there. I know Coach Tomlin over there in GI, he'd like another hack at those Bearcats. And you know, I think when you get into the playoffs, it adds a little extra mustard to those games. And sometimes that underdog, that team gets a little bit more up. They've seen the team once if they have played them. You can't really predict anything in playoff football.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox as well. Your thoughts, high school football. Gretna is number one right now in Class B. Scottsbluff and Beatrice are 2 and 3. You've got McCook down there a ways. They are number 7. Aurora tied with them. Actually, it's a three-way tie for 6th place right now in that point standing. Northwest and York a little bit farther down the line. York 5 and 3, just battling to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they've got Aurora this week. So,
big win from last week over Northwest, though. Huge win. A win that I don't think a lot of people expected out of York.
And that's the sad thing. I mean, you look at this, York's right in that 16-17 spot. 5-4 going home if they don't beat Aurora. If they beat Aurora, they're the district champs and in automatically.
Yeah, a bizarre situation. And, I mean, look at I'll reference back to my senior year of high school, not to date me here, but I played for a Kearney High team that lost just once in the regular season to Millard West. We get in, we get to the state semifinals in Class A, end up falling to Zach Potter and Creighton Prep out in Omaha. The team that won, of course, Zach Potter and Creighton Prep. The team they played in the state championship, though, was a Millard North team that had won 5 games, I think it was, and they got to Lincoln, and our booties were sitting at home.
Yeah, that was the team that went 3-6 or 4-5 and made it all the way to the state championship game.
They won their district.
Well, there you go. Taking a look at some of these other brackets, Adams Central right now is number 1 in C1. Kearney Catholic, they are number 5. And depending on where the line is, Boone Central, Kearney Catholic would be a 2 or a 3 seed, especially if they get the win tonight against Gothenburg. Cozad is right up there in the west as well. Grand Island Central Catholic, they play Boone Central tonight, top 10 matchup. But if Boone Central wins, even the Crusaders drop down a little bit. You follow some of these teams, though, as you get to Class C2. Who wants to play Hastings St. Cecilia in the first round, even though they've got 3 losses? Donovan Trumbull's 5-2. North Platte St. Pat's is 7-0, and they're behind Donovan Trumbull in the points. Mm-hmm. They're just ahead of Hastings St. Cecilia. Those are some teams that you go, yeah, you're going to win your first round game. You go, oh, my. In my quarter bracket, I don't want to go play these guys. Traditional powers.
St. Cecilia is one of those teams. Not only are they traditional power, but they're a ground and pound team. It's what Coach Tesmer's always done at St. Cecilia. The game's not going to be typically high scoring. I've been to, I want to say, 3 or 4 games of theirs this year. I think I've seen halftime scores of 7-6. 10-7. I mean, these games are close. They're low scoring. And you get it out there at Duncan Field, it's an atmosphere. I'm shocked that I can say 3 losses for Hastings St. Cecilia came out of that field this year, but it's a situation where playoff football, Coach Tesper, obviously a solid football team at St. Cecilia. I think they're going to be ready for whoever comes their way.
Well, I think there's a possibility that we do see at least one 2-6 team in the C1 football playoffs here. Ogallala, Minden, Central City are all 2-5. Wayne is done. They're at 2-6. They're looks like they're already in the playoffs at 2-6. So, and again, we discussed this earlier in the week. I don't want to hear the whining and the crying about this. They're going to get their ninth game just as if it was on the regular season schedule. Don't complain to me about there being a 2-6 team in the playoffs, because if you go 9 weeks, the odds of having 8-1 or 8-0 taking on 2-6 are going to be there anyway. Yeah. So this is the way it is. Let's play it out.
Exactly.
I think it's been working pretty good, Spencer.
Yeah,
lately.
I mean, it's a system where, hey, you know what? If you lose, you lost. I don't care if you're 2-6. I mean, like I said, Miller North gets to the state championship with 3 regular season wins. Let them play it out. College football at the Division I level, everybody's barking in the other direction. So this is the severe opposite, and I think it works well for Nebraska.
You got some of these teams that need to win this week, like an Alma team, but they're playing an Overton team, and that doesn't put them as a favorite. They're on the bubble in D1. Elgin is the number one team right now in D1, followed by Burwell Arapahoe and Howells Dodge. Will probably still be the number one team in the East. It just depends on how all of that breaks down. Most D1 is pretty open this year. As we've said, we've so used to a Fort Kearney Conference team being in that with a chance to go to the state final of the West. It doesn't look like this is the year that that's going to happen. You don't know. Elm Creek's there at 6-1, but they're way down with a 6-1 record, middle of the pack.
I want to ask you this, Doug. When teams make that slight jump, Kearney Catholic not getting any love, they're undefeated in C1. They made that jump from C2 to C1. And I mean, what'd you say? They were number 5, I think it was, in C1, number 6, something
six
like that.
6 of the points, 6 of the rankings, yeah.
And now you see a team like Howells Dodge, a team that was in the D2 state championship a year ago, just like Kearney Catholic. They lost in that state championship game. And they're number 3, number 4. I mean, how much stock do you put in to that jump up one division? You're still in Class D, but you jump up that one number.
No, not much. Because I've already seen the success from teams going back and forth. To some of them, it hurts the bubble teams. I mean, and congratulations to Gibbon. They're 5-2 at the C. I mean, you can say what you want. Some teams have to beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and if they get rolled up by the great teams that are in the top 5, so be it. You don't turn from 1-7 to 12-0 in one season. It doesn't happen ever. So you just got to be patient, take what you get, and keep the teams grinding on along out there. There's some good football teams out there.
And teams like Gibbon, Mark McLaughlin leading that team, that's a team you root for, a team that does have a bad year the year before. They come back out, they go 5-2, trying to get, obviously, a good spot in the playoffs. It's safe to say they're probably going to be getting a spot in the playoffs, just who they're going to be matched up with, how far of a run they can make. And the beauty of these small towns, Dougs, whether it's D2, D1, C2, C1, these towns love these football teams, win or lose. I know Axtell, they hate to hear me talk about it on TV. I'm sure they're hating to hear me talk about it on the radio. Not getting a win last year when they won their first game of the year this year. That town emailed into NTV like crazy. Team of the week, athlete of the week. These towns follow these teams. They follow these kids, win or lose, and it's a good thing to see in high school football.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out tonight. For more information, to listen to the games on the radio or to check it out, listen on the internet, we've got it streamed live at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Not to take a complete 360 away here, because we do want to talk a little basketball today. Pat Fitzgerald, head football coach at Northwestern, is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes as well, so stay up to date on that. But as far as what's going on with the Lopers, the Broncos, and the Huskers, we've been talking about that. But yesterday, more depressing news came out for the Nebraska men's basketball program. 5 Big Ten teams ranked 3 in the top 5. Indiana 1, Ohio State 4, Michigan 5, Michigan State 14, Wisconsin 21. Creighton's in there at number 15. We don't talk a ton about Husker basketball, except when they're kind of doing okay. I just don't see us talking about them. I mean, when you're going in, and I'm guilty of it, we've talked about it, the people that cover it, we're already going in with the negative attitude here. And I know Tim Miles is going to do his best, but these guys are just going to get crushed.
If you're Tim Miles, though, would you want it any other way? Not to say.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather have some talent coming in here.
But would you not want that opportunity? Tim Miles is coming from Colorado State, okay? He's coming from a program where they didn't play a whole lot of great teams. to say the least, at Colorado State. The Rams didn't. Now he's coming to Nebraska. He's playing big boy basketball in the Big Ten. Nebraska, not a perennial contender, not a tournament team. The expectations for him are to make them 500 this year. I hate to say it, if you're an avid Husker basketball fan, if Tim Miles can turn this team into a 500 basketball team or even slightly above it, I mean, look what Doc Sather did. Look what Barry Collier did. They fluffed up the non-conference schedule. They got him to 12-1, 13-1, maybe just outside the rankings just off of that alone. But then they realized when Michigan State stepped on the floor, they weren't Austin, PA. You know, they were playing a basketball team that was slightly bigger than them. They won on the eye test. They won on the basketball test. I think Tim Miles is going to come in this year. Yes, I agree with you. It's going to be a tough go. Tim Miles doesn't have his players in. He didn't get a Koyagao. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's going to be a tough year. But I think Tim Miles wants this for his team. He wants the challenge of beating a Michigan State in Lincoln. He wants the challenge of going off and knocking off Indiana. He wants that challenge. Why else would he be here if he didn't want to have that shot?
You can't sell that to me, though.
Can't sell it.
You can't sell that to me. I mean, that's going to be the fluff that we hear, but it's only going to last so long because you know
they're going to lose.
Yeah, you know, like last year, it's going to be ugly.
It's going to be ugly, but that's what you expect. You don't expect a guy like Tim Miles. Nothing against Tim Miles. He seems like a great guy. I finally met him during the Sean Eichor stuff, but he seems like a nice guy. He's very personable. He's good to the camera. So was Doc Sadler, and he ain't here anymore. So Tim Miles has to prove a lot of things on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doc should have done better. Doc had bad luck. We're talking here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Spencer Schubert co-hosted today. You were down for the Sean Highcourst. First time you've been back since being in the room when he was introduced as Nebraska's new athletic director. What was the feeling like in the room? Because there was that little quip that, okay, T.O.'s here, but the coaches aren't, and blah, blah, blah. What was all that like?
It was very interesting. I know when Tom Osborne was announced as the athletic director, all the coaches were there. All of them. Bo was standing in there. Sadler was in there at the time. Connie Yori. Didn't matter. The only coach of note was Tim Miles, like I said. I got to meet him for the first time. He was there. The rest of the coaches weren't. You probably heard, if you've paid any attention to that entire press conference, that entire scenario, that Harvey Perlman made that little quip, the little joke saying, well, they've already met him three times. I suppose they just wanted to keep working and ha, ha, ha. Okay, let's move on. Let's get off the awkward subject. But I think, Doug, if my new boss is getting introduced to the state of Nebraska, to the state media, I'll find 20 minutes, 30 minutes out of my day to go stand there and nod my head and smile. Maybe I won't do the media interviews. Maybe I won't stand even next to T.O., who was also in the room. But I'm there. I'm there. And it's not like Sean Eichhorst is going to hire or fire somebody just because they weren't at his press conference. But it was an interesting situation on that aspect. And to be honest, the attitude of that room, I hate to say, was very cynical. A lot of the questions right out of the gate for Sean, what do you expect to do that Tom Osborne didn't? What do you think you can bring to this job? They were very almost attacking questions instead of embracing questions like, how excited are you for this job? How are you? What are you most looking forward to with this job? Those questions weren't really on the table.
What have you seen on campus? What are your thoughts on the new basketball arena? What are your thoughts on where this program is? Pretty early. It's pretty early. We'll see. We'll see how it pans. I can't believe that there's that much analyzation of the athletic director.
On this show, though, remember what I said? I was actually on the show. You try to phase it out. Understandable. I said I didn't like the hire. I said that on this show. Now I'm indifferent. Having met him, having seen what he did in that press conference, having seen him, I mean, we're a measly TV station in central Nebraska, and he took time to do a one-on-one interview with us. You know, he stood there and he did one-on-ones with every radio outlet, every TV station. Tom Osborne, great guy. I don't know if he would stand around for one-on-ones
well, not
with
anymore.
Every single one of us.
Not anymore. Yeah. Not anymore. It's his first. It's not his first AD job at Miami for 18 months, but he did what he had to do, and there you go. Other basketball news before we take a break here. It'll be interesting to see. This isn't a big deal except to the folks in the GPAC conference and folks that know Grant Schmidt. He unexpectedly resigned his basketball position where he'd been since 1989 on Tuesday, and then it's one of those with You resigned 2 weeks before, and there's no explanation for it. The athletic director, Devin Smith, said he just resigned due to personal and professional reasons. Situations arose in the last couple of days, and that's why it happened. And that was the quote. He called it a bombshell for the team. The players are in shock. A sad day for some of his coaching brethren. I saw Coach Creech in one of the articles that was written on this late yesterday, saying how he's had some mentoring from him, had some talks with him. But again, anytime you get something weird like that, what happened? Hopefully not a health issue. And with what's been going on in the last couple of years here, that always throws up a red light. Was some dirt uncovered? What's going on? You just don't up and leave your team 2 weeks before the season starts.
Yeah, it's got to be something bad, whether it is health or it is a team violation from the coach, maybe a recruiting violation, maybe some sanctions are coming down from the NAIA, the GPAC. I mean, a coach doesn't do this just because of family reasons. Urban Meyer didn't leave Florida 2 weeks before the college football season started. It's one of those things where, you know, some people are going to dig. We might dig at NTV. You might dig here at ESPN. But do you want to dig what you might dig up by doing that? I mean, it's a coach that obviously is heralded. Coach Creech obviously had him as a mentor with Hastings College basketball. Situation where it's tough. You don't know why he left. You don't know. And that's why you can't make assumptions. I mean, everybody knows the saying about,
oh, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it anyway.
That's what's going to happen. But I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things that is tough to talk about because you don't know what's going on.
One of the things the school did say is it wasn't because of pending violations.
Okay. Well,
so
that's good.
That narrows it down to more personal than it would professional.
Yeah.
And I mean, if the AD or the president or something happened that just said, you know what, that's it, that's the last straw, I'm out, then that's one thing and it you'll eventually hear about, but will never be written or talked about. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And finally in this segment, a night with the Mavs. What's going on tonight? A night with the Mavs and UNO. It's at the new Ralston Arena. Former athletes will be inducted. They've got a class of six. Soccer player Beth McGill, she's going to be there. First national champion swimmer Allie Peterson, she's going to be there. Volleyball standout Nikki Masney, now Nikki Bales, she's going to be there. Tim Legler, ESPN analyst, he's going to be there to speak. But that's only half the class. The other three are not attending their UNO Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight. Why would that be? Why would you not go? Why would you not put in service to take the honor of the service that you put in for any institution? Well, one of those athletes, former wrestler Steve Costanzo, not going. Former football player Adam Wright, not going. And former legendary football coach Sandy Buddha, that's not Duda, that's Buddha, that's Buddha with a B, not going either in somewhat protest. Well, a lot of protest. And Coach Buddha said in an article that was written in the Omaha World Herald today that he just thought it was still too soon. But after cutting football and wrestling, this is an interesting scenario going on tonight. Trev Alberts quoted as saying, this is UNO. These people do need to be honored. There is a separate committee that does this. It's not directly out of UNO, but it is tied together. And so they're going to go through another uncomfortable moment tonight in Omaha. Three moments at least.
Yeah. Are you shocked, though? Can you actually be shocked by that?
I think if I was Sandy Buddha, and again, this is just off the cuff. He's a great guy and was a great football coach and is a staple of Omaha. I think if I was Sandy Buddha, I probably would go, and then you could also use the platform to talk about how great this was and that what a mistake this was.
So
but if he hates UNO, which I don't think he does from the gist of what I'm reading and hearing, the other two I can definitely understand. They're so recent that, you know, I'm not hanging around. I'm not going to go, you cut my program.
That entire span, that year that happened, is not that long ago. The wrestling team won the national championship right here in Kearney, and Trev Alberts didn't have the moxie, so to speak, to come to Kearney and tell the wrestling team what was happening. It happened over a phone call. I know that's well reported at this point. The locks were changed on the wrestling coaches' doors when they got back. They couldn't put gear away from winning the national championship. They had singlets that were stinky and smelly. They had the headgear. They had all of their practice gear, and they couldn't even get back in to their offices. They couldn't get back in to the building, let alone getting into their offices. The keys didn't work. Do you want to go in with a door they might open for you?
Good times.
Do you want to go into that?
Good times, folks. So that's tonight. Folks, coming back, we're going to talk to Pat Fitzgerald here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, the head football coach at Northwestern. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. They're bringing in the 2013s, and they're moving out the 2012s. In fact, I think we could call it a blowout over the next couple of days. Check things out at Midway. Whether you want a Silverado, well-priced right now, or any other new or pre-owned vehicle, hassle-free price, you're not going to do any better than what you do at Midway. The price on the vehicle is the price you pay. Go ahead. Take your time if you want. They want you to feel comfortable. You want to compare it? Go right ahead. And then you'll go, just wasted time because they were right. Hassle-free is the way it is. ThinkMidway.com has all the inventory, great price specials, maybe you just need some maintenance work. Maybe you need the quick lube. They're going to have specials on there for you and their Facebook page as well. You can also take care of Midway Auto Credit, online financing, and a whole lot more. Find out more while you got a few minutes. Go online to ThinkMidway.com or swing by Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way, and we head to Evanston, Illinois, for Coach Pat Fitzgerald after this.
Okay, Greeny, here's the situation. There's 2 minutes on the clock. You got to score a hotel room now. Run the play.
What? Goalie, did you play without a helmet?
Hey, I'm talking La Quinta in the two-minute drill.
What two-minute drill?
LQ's instant hold. Just use your smartphone and punch in your phone number. You'll hold a room tonight in under 2 minutes. Well, really more like a few seconds.
So really it's more like a few seconds drill.
There's no few seconds drill in football.
La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next day on your smartphone at LQ.com.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hi, you dear guy that sits on me. I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. The beach, the mountains, that curvy road that leads to the diner with the milkshakes you love. Look, the point is, you and me, we've become biker buds. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Geico could help you save on your motorcycle insurance. And that should make you and your bike very happy.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jerseys in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
How much?
Nobody likes surprise repair charges. That's why you should trust the certified technicians at AutoTech Specialists of Kearney. When Aaron, Scott, and Todd put their heads together, there's almost a half century of experience to solve most problems. AutoTech Specialist is a Napa Auto Care Center. Most repairs are warrantied for 12 months or 12,000 miles, and every vehicle receives a free safety inspection. Surprised? Now you can take your vehicle to AutoTech Specialist at 25th and Avenue I for no surprises. Find out all about ATS on Facebook.
Rogers Incorporated, better service built this business.
Step up to the best for less during Rogers October Savings Event. Save on all Whirlpool, Maytag, Amana, and KitchenAid appliances, plus no interest if paid in full within 12 months. Ask Rogers for details. Upgrade to a Whirlpool top load washer and electric dryer, now is $648 each. Get the best for less during the Rogers Incorporated October Savings Event, 1035 South Burlington, Hastings.
College football on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Heated in-state rivals in the Big Ten go head-to-head.
Right side of the field, and it is caught! It's a touchdown in the right corner of the end zone.
As Michigan State looks for its fifth straight victory versus Michigan.
Fires upfield, that ball's picked off.
Michigan, Michigan State, Saturday at 2:30, followed by Alabama and Tennessee on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Fantasy football questions are rolling in for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Coming up in the last segment of today's Doug and Daddy Show, Pat Fitzgerald joins us here in just a moment on the Doug and Daddy Show, head football coach at Northwestern. We were talking basketball before the break. Hastings College took a major blow this week. Tobin Reinwald, their leading returning scorer and rebounder, injured his knee in practice. He's out for the entire season.
A tough go for Creech and his guys already to lose a guy like that, and we'll see how they fill in.
Bad news. Nebraska volleyball, easy win last night over Iowa. Gina Mancuso led the way. They're at 25th ranked. Illinois coming up on Sunday. Lunchtime coming up around the corner, or anytime.
Anytime. If you want to go to the Chicken Coop, they have specials Monday through Friday. Catch the early games, whatever you want to do. Happy hours, 2 to 5:30. Might see Doug there later today.
Actually,
he's going to be running the cross country. He's going to be running that cross country circuit. Make sure he knows the course. I think that's what you did before today.
I go out and that's what I did this morning. I went out and ran the course. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow I will be getting some to go from the Chicken Coop. Mm-hmm. Chicken nugget, get the boneless wings.
Right.
I'll have about 20 of them.
He's going to be running to the Chicken Coop because there's not a bad seat in the house. Great food and drink specials every night. And that room available downstairs, it's available for parties. Our infamous NTV fantasy football party every year. Our draft, that always takes place down there. But Thursday, what do you think's the special, Doug? The Po' Boy Shrimp Sandwich.
So good.
A choice of a side item, only $5.99.
So good.
The Po' Boy. You can be Po' and still have yourself a big boy sandwich.
Chicken Coop.
Chicken Coop.
Grand Island.
Be there.
Kearney. So good.
Always good.
Doug and Daddy Show rolls on this Thursday as we get ready for a big football game coming up Saturday. The Husker Nation is already headed out towards Chicago and Evanston, and one of our favorite folks from the Big Ten, Pat Fitzgerald, head coach, gracious to give us a few minutes this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time, and how are preparations going?
They're ongoing. Obviously, a big practice for us today, and, finish our prep and more of a mental day and key game emphasis for us here on Thursday and cleaning up the game plan. But we've had two pretty good days, and hopefully we'll finish it up.
Coach, with the nap thing, with the pizza thing that you guys were talking about on one of your video chats to the kids out there, seems like you've done a good job of getting the media to focus on other things besides what Northwestern's going to do in this football game. Is that an intentional thing?
Sure. I mean, I think at the end of the day, obviously my job is to prepare our team, and I've obviously been here for a number of years now, and our reporters and our beat staff are just tremendous. They're very, very fair to our program, and it's funny. We're just having a good time in a press conference on Monday, and talking about how you're going to keep the team, focused and not getting too hyped for the game. And I said, a couple of weeks ago, I even had to create a nap because we slept walked through the first quarter of the Boston College game, and obviously that people have run with it. So, hey, what are you going to do, man? We got a 24-hour news cycle now, and now I'm a motivating guru by creating naps for our itinerary.
Could be the new motivational tactic of the next decade here.
You could start calling me Matt Foley.
Pat Fitzgerald, head football coach at Northwestern, with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, back in Chicago at media days, the feeling, at least among our staff, was you guys were going to have a good football team. We just didn't know how good because you were still pretty young, maybe had the least amount of returning starters of anybody in the conference. Tell me about the maturation and how these first-year starters really came along for you in this first half of the season.
Yeah, that progress is ongoing. We are far, far, far from the finished product. And, I don't know if through this year I'm going to say that we are. We've just got so many young guys playing right now. Now, they're having a blast. They're playing their tails off. And I thought our senior leadership really stepped up this offseason. We've got tremendous chemistry. We're really rock solid from a foundation standpoint in the locker room. And, I thought we faced our first brush with adversity a couple of weeks ago with a very strong response from our leadership. So, with that being said, we're just going to keep grinding on it, keep working hard as coaching staff to get these guys better, keep it simple, but yet hopefully a little bit complex for our opponents, and just fundamentally execute better. And we have not put together 60 minutes of three-phase clean football yet. And that's our mission. That's our goal. And try to find a way to go 1-0 on Saturday.
Coach, what did the team, or what do you think the team learned from that only loss of the season at Penn State?
Yeah, you know, first of all, just how hard it is to win in Big Ten football. You know, when you go on the road or you play at home against very good football teams, there's going to be an ebb and flow of momentum. And, you know, we didn't have it to start that game. We seized it back. We lost it, and we didn't have a response in the fourth quarter to get it back. And, you know, that's what the team's learned. And hopefully as we move forward here throughout the last half of our season, we take that experience and, you know, use it as fuel to find a way to win.
What determines how much you use Kane at the quarterback position, how much you use him at the wide receiver? Is it the team you're playing? Is it the type of the, is it the point of the ball game? Where are you at with that right now?
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into that. You know, the first thing is a rock, paper, scissors, shoot contest on the boundary to see who wins that. You know, you know, really, Mick McCall and our offensive staff do a great job. We've got a plan throughout the week based on what we expect to see. First of all, schematically. Second of all, from a down and distance and field zone and personnel from our opponent. And if we feel like we could take advantage of some things, you know, with both guys on the field or Kane on the field, that's what we're going to do. So, you know, I got to give the credit to Mick and our staff. They do a great job. And, you know, the Cornhuskers present a lot of problems for us, and hopefully we'll find a way to answer the bell.
Northwestern head football coach Pat Fitzgerald with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Everybody wants to talk about Kane. We haven't heard a whole lot about Trevor, but fill us in on why he is such a good player.
Well, he's really grown. You know, first of all, he came in here as a little pencil neck out of Central Florida at about 180 pounds, soaking wet. Athlete, big-time arm. He's got a great grasp of our system and, you know, a really solid leader just like Kane. You know, a year ago, we got a little bit of a glimpse of him. He played a couple of snaps there in Lincoln for us, and, you know, as he was kind of our third. And, you know, we probably would have played him more early, but it has a lot less to do with Kane and Trevor as much as it has to do with our third quarterback. And that's, you know, you're going to play two guys, you're a play away from getting your third oiled up. And, you know, with that being said, Zach Oliver's come on for us a little bit here over the last month, and we feel really solid about where he's at. And, that, you know, that's why you're seeing us play the two quarterbacks more.
As you mentioned, big-time win for your football program in Lincoln last year. Can you take anything from that game into this weekend?
Yeah, I'm just glad the game's over. You know, the clock couldn't go down fast enough. We were really fortunate. We were really opportunistic. You know, early in the week, some of the shows out there talked about how we dominated the run game and just shut down the running attack. It's no disrespect to those guys. We did not do that. We got fortunate. We were able to run through a couple of tackles and make some things happen there in a run game for us. And then on defense, we were just really opportunistic. We caused three turnovers and got a big fourth down stop, and that was the difference in the game, you know. And, you know, we were just fortunate to get out of there and get a ton of respect for Coach Pelini, his staff, the way the young men play at the talent level. There's weapons across the board in all three phases, and this is going to be a huge challenge for us here on Saturday.
Is there concern? What's it like out there? This game sold out in one day. We knew that back in Big Ten media days. How concerned are you that there's going to be more Husker fans in the stadium?
Well, there won't be more fans. I mean, there'll be a lot of fans around. There won't be more fans. And you know, we're building a program here. You know, you got to tip your hat to a university and a program like Nebraska that's been winning for decades, and we have not. And we're building something here. You know, this is a really neat venue. I think that the fans that are traveling in will enjoy the venue. They'll definitely enjoy our fans. And that was the one thing that jumped out to myself, our staff, and to our young men last year when we played in Lincoln. You know, the sportsmanship and the hospitality that we saw was second to none in any game that we've been a part of. You know, I know how much the Husker Nation loves their men and loves their program, but to come out off the field the way that the fans recognize the effort of our players, the way that we were going to the buses and at the airport, at the hotel, the way that we were treated was first class, and we hope to see the way the Cornhuskers and the fans come in here over the weekend. They feel the same way as they go back west.
Just last moment here with Pat Fitzgerald, the head football coach at Northwestern, hosting the Huskers at 2:30 on Saturday. Everybody out here is worried about how Nebraska is going to stop your offense. There's going to be the other side of the key, too, a little bit about your defense. After practice yesterday, Nebraska's offensive line coach John Garrison said that your defense was, quote, built to stop the run and the most well-coached team in the conference. I was wondering about your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm humbled and appreciate the kind words. You know, I would say the same thing about the entire program there in Lincoln. You know, they're incredibly well coached in all three phases. They've got a plan. They do a great job adjusting in-game. They put a lot of stress on you in all three phases on what they're doing schematically. And like I said, through recruiting efforts, their talent is as good as there is in this league. So we've got a long way to go before we're where we want to be. And this challenge on Saturday is going to be daunting for us. But it should be a great environment. Should be a lot of fun, I think, for everybody. And it's what Big Ten football and college football is all about. So appreciate those kind words. But, you know, we're far from the finished product.
And finally, Coach, what about Martinez Burkhead? And who knows how much he'll play in that stable of running backs? What's most concerning about the Husker O?
I haven't slept all week, man. I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, sometimes you can get in front of your team and say, hey, you know, there's a head of the snake, and if you cut the head of the snake off, you're going to win the football game, you know, and you can point to one guy and say he's it. And when you look at Nebraska offensively, you know, it's just a multitude of weapons and a multitude of young men when they touch the ball can score behind a big physical offensive line, tight end group. The receiving core is very physical. The backs speak, their physicality speaks for themselves, and Taylor is just a really dynamic player. So, you know, we got our hands full here. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, if it was on paper, we have no chance. But hopefully we'll play our best game of the year here on Saturday.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you giving us just a few minutes on game week and game morning here to get ready for Saturday's football game. Thanks, as always, for the time. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
I appreciate the time also to all of our great fans here in the state of Nebraska. Go Cats, and travel safe. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach. You bet. Pat Fitzgerald here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Awesome. He was great at media days, and I guess that's still the one thing. Here's where I suppose Husker fan can get a little tweaked, too. Our assessment coming back from Chicago and media days is that Northwestern had the potential to be really good, but they just looked like they were too young, and they have found a way to survive these games so far. Now, albeit they still got a couple of big games to go, their schedule maybe not the toughest one out there. They still got Michigan, Michigan State, but they don't have to play Ohio State. They don't have to play Wisconsin. They still have us, obviously, Nebraska. So Nebraska, Michigan, Michigan State still on their schedule. Right now, people think Northwestern could win this division.
Hey, Northwestern right now, a team, you know, these guys rally. It's kind of the Paul Rhodes effect, I think, with Pat Fitzgerald over at Northwestern. This team loves this guy. They rally around him. I don't think there's a guy in the locker room in Evanston, Illinois, that is against this guy. And to bring this team out, as youthful as you just heard about them in the interview, to a 6-1 record already, and sure, their schedule's not the toughest. They haven't played all of the stout teams. They go out to Penn State and lose, their only loss of the year. This is a team that beat Nebraska in Lincoln. At the end of that interview, you hear Coach Fitzgerald say, we're not going to win this game on paper, but luckily we still get to play it. Coach, I think the record speaks for itself. I think this game on paper is going to be a tough one for Nebraska. I think on the field it's going to be a tough one for Nebraska. The Huskers haven't won on the road this year. They go and drop an egg at UCLA. They get routed at Ohio State. They're shaking on the road. Northwestern has to know that. They're going to probably try to take as much advantage of that as they can. And I think the game on paper is going to be as tight as it is on the field.
At the beginning or at the end of the program tomorrow, Scott Powers, ESPN Chicago, will join us. We've had him on numerous times to talk Northwestern football and maybe even a bit about the Lions and the Bears, which I know some Husker fans staying over to go see on Monday. Need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. All of our guests taken care by our friends at BK Burger King, home of the Whopper. And don't forget right now, check out the Cinnabon mini bun roll. Full breakfast menu served from 6 to 11 with the Cinnabons. Warm dough filled with cinnamon, topped with rich cream cheese and frosting. That's cream cheese frosting, by the way.
I'll be right back.
Back after this with Luke Hoover, RotoWire. Fantasy football, folks, get your questions in. Email, Facebook, your fantasy football questions. Luke Hoover and RotoWire next.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. There are so many reasons to show somebody you care. Birthdays, thank yous, or how about just because? I know I do that, and it pays off. My wife is never happier when I just say I sent flowers because. Send a beautiful bouquet right now of multicolored roses from 1-800-Flowers.com backed by their 100% smile guarantee. For those passionate about flowers and obsessed with delivery and a smile every time, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. They've got an amazing offer for my listeners. Order one dozen multicolored roses and get an extra dozen in a glass vase for free. That's 24 roses in a vase for just $29.99. Twice as many flowers for one low price. For birthdays or just because. Order this limited time offer today to get this and other great offers. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A high wind warning remains in effect for our area through the day today, as we'll see skies turn partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Northwest winds stay at around 20 to 45 miles per hour. I'm weather eye meteorologist Paul Trable. Right now it's 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to vote on our poll question each and every day. Yesterday, which injured Ravens defender was most important to the team? Obviously, 53%, which I thought would be higher, said Ray Lewis. And then split up between Ladarius Webb, Haloti Ngata, and Terrell Suggs, who's back, apparently, in the story of the morning. Spencer Schubert, what is your college football game of the week? We've got three top 20 matchups. LSU at A&M. South Carolina, Florida, Kansas State, West Virginia. Which is your game of the week?
I think LSU is going to beat A&M easily, sadly. I also think West Virginia is going to stun Kansas State, but the game of the week, the game I think is going to be closest, South Carolina and Florida. South Carolina coming off the loss.
I thought you just told me Kansas State was going to win.
I know. I'm switching on you. I know. West Virginia's angry. Texas
little,
Tech.
A little bit of...
Once you turn the mic on, things just change. Yeah, you give me some knowledge. Okay. No, game of the week, easily South Carolina, Florida. The Gamecocks coming off a tough loss to LSU. Florida, I think, is overrated myself. I think that's going to be a good game in favor of the old ball coach in South Carolina, and I think it's going to be a big game in determining that SEC East.
Yeah, and South Carolina can stay in the race with a win in this because you can win national titles with a loss in the SEC. I'm very interested in K-State, West Virginia. I want to watch that football game a little bit, too. So there you go. Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com, folks. ESPNSuperstation.com, the place to vote on our poll question. Luke Hoover from RotoWire joins us every Thursday to answer fantasy football questions with six teams on bye, some injuries out there. The waiver wire's not looking all that great. It's time to actually do some managing and hope you got some depth. Luke, how are you today?
Good. How you guys doing?
Well, I'm surviving. I had to one of my leagues, I had to get a wide receiver. I didn't even have anybody that I could put in. I mean, injuries, nobody there. So Randall Cobb was available, and then there was Felix Jones I could have put out there as a flex and hope that nobody picked up Cobb on the waivers and go get him. Tell me which one I should have done.
You know what? The better long-term play is probably Cobb right now.
Jones looks like a great play this week, and I would prefer him certainly for this week and maybe the next one or two, depending on how much time DeMarco Murray misses. But I don't think Greg Jennings' groin injury is going to be fully healed, perhaps the whole season, certainly not in the immediate future. So Cobb's looking like a pretty strong play as well. If it's a PPR league, I like Cobb better. He's been getting targeted more heavily from Rodgers recently.
Even with Jennings coming back, that's good. That's just all I wanted to know, thank goodness. Now let's get on to a ton of questions that we've got, so let's get rolling through them. This comes from Adam. Injury replacement, not just for this week, but who do you trust moving forward the rest of the year? Mario Manningham, Brandon Gibson, Kendall Wright, Jerome Simpson. Who should
Adam pick? Out of that group, I would probably lean towards Kendall Wright of the those guys. I noticed this the other day, and then I recommended him this week in my Flex Appeal column on RotoWire, but the guy has not gotten less than 8 targets in a single game since week one. Kendall Wright is getting heavily targeted, and he's not getting a ton of yards just yet, but he's an explosive playmaker, and those yards will come for him. He's got a good matchup this week. I also like Brandon Gibson, but, that Rams passing game is not as strong as, Tennessee's. Hasselbeck's playing pretty well. Jake Locker, is a competent quarterback when he does come back. And Wright should be strong going forward.
All right, Luke. Cody apparently has plenty of quarterback options here for you. First off, who should he play? Who's his best choice? Stafford against the Bears, Dalton against the Steelers, or Hasselbeck against the Bills?
Well, right now it's kind of hard to bench Andy Dalton. He's playing so well. A.J. Green is looking like the best receiver in football right now. The two have a really strong connection and just actually torched, Cleveland and Joe Hayden, who might be the best corner in the league with Darrelle Revis out last week. I would probably lean towards Dalton. I really don't like the Stafford matchup. He's just playing bad football at this point in the season. I would go with Dalton.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Email or Facebook is your questions. I'll take care of this one for you, Luke. Eric says, is Felix Jones a good pickup? yes, he is. He's the number one, right? He's your number one pickup this week.
Oh, for this week, absolutely, yeah. He's a guy, if I can pick him up, I'm slotting him in, as my flex or maybe even my number two running back immediately this week. Carolina's D hasn't been very strong against the run. And, aside from limiting Marshawn Lynch in their last week to 85 yards, which is still not exactly limiting them. They've been terrible with the 3 weeks before that.
Quarterback dilemma for you. This from my team. No pressure. Here you go. Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Terrific Brady? Ben's actually projected for more, but you can't go against Tom Brady, can you?
You really can't. No, I wouldn't bench Tom Brady. He's had a lot of great games against the Jets, and with Revis out, I can't see this one being a bad one for him. He's got a good matchup. Roethlisberger was good last week but didn't get the scores. I think Brady will get some scores this week.
Off the Facebook page, Alan says Tom Brady or Robert Griffin III?
Ooh, that's a slightly closer call than Brady and Ben, but the Giants defense, finally showed up last week. I think they're going to carry that over into the divisional game, and I like Brady a little bit more. RG3 is going to give you good running numbers just about every week, but his passing stats are down. He's got just 180 yards last week and a touchdown, and I don't think he's going to surpass that by much this week. Pierre Garçon also could be out again.
All right, let's stay with the quarterbacks. This is a touchdown-only league where rushing touchdowns count double for quarterbacks. So do you go RG3 or do you go Tony Romo?
Oh, definitely RG3. if he can get extra points on rushing scores. He's got 6 in 6 games so far. He's on pace to even break Newton's record that he set last year. Guess whether he will, but he's been great on the ground so far.
All right, this one from an NTV staffer, Tim Wright, morning meteorologist, not doing his job, chiming in, wanting to know, is Jimmy Graham going to play?
I think they might sit him this week. He didn't practice yesterday. And, they haven't really disclosed how bad this ankle sprain of his is, whether it's a high ankle sprain, low ankle sprain. But, unless he is practicing fully before the end of this week, I don't think he's playing.
Let's go to the Facebook page, and Michael says, would you play Michael Bush or Darius Haywood-Bay?
Oh, that's a close call, and neither is a particularly strong option. I've thought about Haywood-Bay possibly making some noise this week. Jacksonville's defense has been terrible. but at the same time, he's still kind of getting his legs under him coming off that concussion. Bush has got a shot at getting a goal line score every week. So that being the case, I'd probably play Bush.
Grant from Kearney is fed up with his defense. He's had the Ravens all season, says they're out. He wants you to pick his defense for him. Cowboys, Rams, Patriots, or Giants? Those are his top four options.
I would go with the Patriots. You know, that Jets team kind of surprised some people and went crazy last week against the Colts. But I don't expect a lot of their offense this week. Sean Green is still a pretty ordinary running back, and, you know, the Patriots' defense is strong against the run. Mark Sanchez just doesn't have enough weapons to play the Patriots.
Do you take the Patriots for the rest of the season, though, out of those four as well? Doug's arguing silently over here.
I thought he'd take the Giants.
He thought you would go with the Giants. Would you stick with the Patriots over the Giants?
I would take the Giants for the rest of the season, but I like the Patriots more this week.
More this week.
Patriots' pass defense doesn't look all that different than last year's unit to me. You know, they've been giving up a lot of yards. Just let Russell Wilson throw for almost 303 scores. So they're going to have their down week, certainly. But against the Jets team, I like them this week.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio, answering your fantasy football questions. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert as we head towards the top of the hour. Here, Luke, would be a question I would never thought would have been asked ever in fantasy football. But Mark says, our first defensive question ever from Mark. Seattle has been trending down the last couple weeks. Do I stick with them or take a shot on Cleveland, who's been hot?
No, I would definitely stick with Seattle's defense. They probably have the best overall secondary in all of football. They have a pretty strong pass rush, and they're just not giving up very many yards or points right now. The 49ers' offense looked pretty miserable last week against the Giants. I like Seattle, you know, this week and the rest of the season. I wouldn't. There's no one I would bench them against.
All right, two questions from a guy that was talking to you a week ago. The tall guy named Josh wants to know. First quarterbacks, do you take Cutler or Newton this weekend?
Probably got to go with Cutler. I'm having a hard time trusting Cam this season. Cutler's got at least, I believe, 275 passing yards and two touchdowns in each of the last two. The Lions' defense just gave up over 302 scores to Vickies. You know, they're not playing great. They're strong against the run, not against the pass, and Newton's been struggling. I'd go with Cutler.
And the second one, he wants to know his receivers. This is a tough situation. Pick two of these guys, Dez Bryant, Megatron, or Brandon Marshall.
Ooh, that is a tough one. You really can't bench Calvin. He could go crazy in any given week. And Marshall's just been so hot lately, I'd probably stick with him. I know Dez Bryant is a hard guy to sit after the last 2 weeks. He's gotten a ton of targets. You know, he's actually putting up some yardage numbers and gotten in the end zone. But yeah, Marshall and Calvin are probably two of the top five in the league.
They're showing WNBA highlights right now. Did you see that coach go crazy last night? How's your WNBA fantasy team doing, Luke?
You know what? Actually, I skipped this season. I'll pick it up next year for the WNBA. I took it off. You know, too, I had to put too much focus on the football.
We appreciate all of these questions. Let's keep it going here for another couple minutes with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Scott and Kearney says, I know it looks pretty bleak. Give me some hope because my running backs are on bye. I need to play one of these in a standard league. William Powell of Arizona, Bolden of the Patriots, Redman of the Steelers.
Well, you know what? I'd have to lean towards Powell. I'm not even sure how much Bolden or if Bolden will play this week. He's got dealing with a little bit of a knee injury and hasn't quite practiced this week. I actually like Danny Woodhead in place of him this week. And Redman, again, he came had the knee injury and came out last week, so his status is iffy. And Powell is the starting guy in Arizona, looks like the number one back. Bad matchup with Minnesota, but, you know, he should get carries and could be effective.
All right, a couple more for you. Mike from Gibbon wants to know, Matt Schaub has just been terrible the last week. Do you start him over Eli Manning, or do you go with the little brother?
You have to play Eli Manning this week. He could be the number one quarterback in fantasy. The Redskins' pass defense has been absolutely horrible, giving up 15 touchdowns already, lead the league in yards per game, you know, passing yards allowed. You know, he could go crazy this week. I really like Eli.
Well, this wouldn't seem to be a big question, but it's all on matchups. Matt Stafford, Christian Ponder.
You know what? Ponder has been playing pretty well. neither is a good matchup, but the Bears' pass D has been phenomenal the last few weeks. I would go with Ponder in this one.
Todd from Kearney has injuries in bye weeks, just riddling him useless. He's scrambling and enforced to play a backup at running back. Who do you take, Lerod Stevens-Howling, Philip Tanner, or Montario Hardesty?
Well, Hardesty looks like the best option, given how bad the Colts were against the run last week, and with Richardson dealing with the rib injury. I think Richardson will still play, but Hardesty might split carries and eat into his workload. I'd probably go with Hardesty.
Michael Vick or Andy Dalton? James in Grand Island. Michael Vick or Andy Dalton?
Well, Michael Vick probably isn't the best option, given it's his bye week.
Oh, yeah.
I would go with Dalton.
Come on, James. What are you doing? Oh. He threw one by me. That's what he was doing.
He's trying to sneak you one. Here we go. Jake from Omaha. He tried to sneak one by me. I'm not going to read his first proposition, but what are your projections for the entire Lions backfield the rest of the season? You got LeSure, Smith, Bell, Best, Williams, and Logan. Who do you like out of that to lead the Lions backfield the rest of the way, even though they passed quite a bit?
Yeah, you can't say any name except LeSure right now. It would take an injury for him to not have the lead job there. He's getting most of the carries right now. I like Joik Bell's upside. If LeSure gets hurt, and LeSure's had some injuries in the past, so it could happen. Right now, Kevin Smith looks like he's not going to be a factor the rest of the way unless LeSure goes down. And even then, I think Bell becomes the starter. LeSure's the guy, though.
One of our fantasy football regulars is Terrence, and he's fluffing us up today. He goes, thanks for the help. This segment of your show is must-listen radio for me each week. He needs to play two of these three wide receivers, Dez Bryant, Akeem Nix, Jordy Nelson.
Oh, another tough one on the receivers. I would wait and see if Nix, you know, practices the rest of the week, and he actually practiced yesterday. I couldn't bench him against the Redskins, and Jordy just had a huge game. But he probably will draw Courtland Finnegan, and Finnegan has pretty much shut down everybody he's faced. So I like Dez Bryant a little bit more than Nelson this week.
Running back at the this is just flex. Who should I start at the flex? Percy Harvin, Ahmad Bradshaw?
I go with Harvin. He's just been so consistent as far as getting yardage numbers every week. And Bradshaw actually is dealing with the chronic foot problem that he had last year. He's dealing with that again. That's creeped up a little bit. And he's gotten nearly 60 carries the last 2 weeks. I think that drops off this weekend.
I'm still upset about you guys saying Jordy Nelson. He's the reason I lost three of my three fantasy leagues last week. Touchdown-only league. Yeah, I know. I had to play him in all three leagues. It was a party. Touchdown-only league from Mike. He wants to know, Mike Williams or Stevie Johnson?
I like Mike Williams this week. It's a really good matchup for Tampa. New Orleans has been giving up a ton of points, and you know, given how many yards Tampa's allowed through the air, I think Breeze can jump out to a lead and force Tampa into throwing more often.
We've just about reached the end of our questions. Just a couple left here. Eric kind of has a multi-question here. He's got Felix Jones, it appears. So would you replace Forte or Mendenhall? And you could also use him as a flex, and he's got James Jones, William Powell, and Steve Johnson. Non-PPR league, what do you do with Felix Jones?
I would start Felix Jones over Mendenhall this week. Mendenhall, you know, if he came out last week with the Achilles issue, hasn't really practiced yet this week, and that's also going to be the Sunday night game. So if you decide to play him, you're really running the risk of maybe they bench him last minute if he's a game-time decision. I like Felix Jones in place of him, and you got to stick with James Jones in at least some capacities, you know, on a crazy streak with two scores in each of the last three games.
All right, Luke, we do it every week. We've talked about a lot of guys, said a lot of names. Who is the best guy to start if you're lucky enough to have him on your lineup this week, and who's the worst?
Quarterback, like I said earlier, I think Eli could have a huge game. The Redskins' pass D has just been terrible, worse than both the Packers and Patriots last year. Running back, you know what, I've said it every week, and it's kind of held true just about every week, but Arian Foster is a guy you have to roll out there as the number one. You know, Baltimore just lost Ray Lewis. They might not be able to tackle anybody else who gave up a ton of yards to Dallas last week. At receiver, I've got this week, actually, Marcus Colston is the number one. They should get Lance Moore back, you know, into the mix this week. After the bye week, he seems to be healthy. But like I said, I think Jimmy Graham might sit, and that means more targets in the red zone for Colston.
And who is the guy that you normally would play that you need to sit this week?
Well, you know, you've probably been playing Stafford all year, but it's not worked out all the time, and this is a terrible matchup for him. I'm sitting Stafford over most other options. As I said, I'd start Ponder over him. And in that game, piggybacking on that, I think the Bears' defense is playing so well. I'd bench LeSure as well, and I wouldn't play him at running back and at receiver. You know, you have to play him probably if he's on your team, but I don't like Torrey Smith this week going up against Houston. I think the Ravens are going to get forced to throw it a fair amount, but Jonathan Joseph is a phenomenal corner. I think he's going to take on Torrey Smith and shut him down.
There's no reason for me to even put a lineup in after that. I got Stafford and Schaub at quarterback. I got Torrey Smith as a wide receiver. Oh, you're just killing me.
Schaub could be okay because, you know, Baltimore's defense has been pretty poor, but I think that their offense might help them out a little this week between Rice and Flacco. I don't like Smith, but I think Flacco will find some of his other weapons. And, you know, Schaub might have to pass. Aaron Foster is certainly going to set up play action really well, so Schaub could have a solid game.
Even after that bad Green Bay performance, though, I mean, Green Bay made Matt Schaub, what was it, 5 fantasy points I think he finished
just
up with?
Zip it. Just
yeah,
zip
it. Yeah, it was sounds a tough about deal. Right. It was right around 5.
And Chris,
yeah, I think the Packers D came inspired. They were playing inspired football. They needed that win badly.
We're out of time, but Chris and Carney, we've talked about so many of them. Was there any injuries that we missed on, Luke, that folks need to be aware of?
You know what, I mentioned it before, and I think it definitely bears keeping an eye on the Bradshaw issue with his foot. It was a chronic problem for him in the past, and he's gotten so many carries, but I think he's going to get more limited. I think maybe they work in David Wilson a little bit more. He's looked really explosive the last couple of weeks.
All right, Luke, thanks for going overtime with us. Everybody loves the segment. Love the work you guys do at RotoWire. We'll keep up to date all day, all weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. Luke Hoover on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and we're back to wrap things up right after this.
Hey, everybody. Boomer Esiason here. With my busy schedule, I drink a lot of coffee, and I always choose 8 o'clock. It comes in great flavors, like original, 100% Colombian, and my personal favorite, the dark Italian roast. Plus, it's easy to enjoy. When I brew a fresh pot, I use whole bean or ground, and now it's available in convenient K-Cup packs, too. That's 8 o'clock, America's original gourmet coffee, available at your local store.
K-Cup is a trademark of Keurig Incorporated, used with permission. K-Cup packs for Keurig K-Cup brewing systems.
Hey, what's happening? I'm Wright Brand Bacon, the bigger, better bacon. When you bite into Wright Brand Bacon, it's like DJ Bacon dropping a beat in a Pac Bacon disco in your mouth. I'm so meaty and delicious, I'm like meat candy.
Sweet.
When you fry me up, I smell so good, it draws a crowd like free money. I'm so tender.
Right
so
brand delicious. Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, whole house installation on all special order carpet is only $37. Come discover the newest selection of carpet across every price point, giving you something soft, stylish, and even more affordable to install. You can make a room full of difference when you get whole house carpet installation for just $37. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
New from T&L Irrigation Company and AgSense LLC, it's PrecisionLink, the all-new web-based pivot control system for T&L pivot systems. The PrecisionLink, combined with T&L's Precision Point Control 3, allows you to efficiently manage your pivot start-stop, direction, application rate, speed, and water pump control with your mobile device or computer. Talk to your local T&L dealer today about the all-new PrecisionLink. T&L Irrigation, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime.
Listen, guys, Echo Outdoor Power Equipment knows that you put up with a lot, like your daughter's loser boyfriend. So when you finally get a chance to tackle the trees in your yard, the last thing you need is a chainsaw that breaks down. That's why Echo makes professional-grade outdoor power equipment that's easy to use, long-lasting, and backed by a 5-year consumer warranty. Right now, when you purchase select Echo chainsaws, you get a free chainsaw case, including bar and chain oil and a cool hat, a $50 value, all at Big G Ace, your Echo Power Equipment headquarters.
Maybe it's the fresh-cut onions in Long John Silver's new onion rings. Or maybe it's just hard to say goodbye.
Try Long John Silver's new signature battered onion rings. Served hot and fresh for a taste you're gonna love. Get a basket for just $4.99. It's a deal that'll make you say,
"That's what I like."
If you've got a pre-owned GM vehicle, you test drove it, right? And if your car has OnStar, why not test drive it too? Just push the blue OnStar button and ask for 3 months on us. You'll get automatic help in a crash, turn-by-turn directions, roadside assistance, and monthly diagnostic checks, all at no cost and no obligation. Offer good on 2006 or newer digitally equipped GM models. Excludes OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hopefully that wind dies down. We can enjoy some football over the next couple of nights. Cross country tomorrow and the youth mentor hunt. Contact Dave Connor. They had a spot or two left as of last check. The youth mentor hunt is Saturday, starting at 7:30 a.m. with registration. They'll serve breakfast and they take care of everything, put a little lunch in there. The hunt should end by 2. There's blue rock shooting, dog handling, gun safety, bird cleaning, shotgun pattering. It's all for kids age 12 to 15. Good, small, like 30-person group, and they always have the very best with the Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever. You can get your release forms that you've got to sign up at Old West Guns and find out all the information you need. Contact the youth chair, Dave Connor, 440-1325, Spencer.
That's kind of funny. I was actually golfing at Prairie Hills just a day ago or so. Went out with the fiance. She drove the cart, you know, good little bonding day. Saw some pheasants walking across the road, so that's ironic. But big news, and we're going to release it right here.
Oh, my goodness.
On the Doug and Daddy Show, the only place to release the big news. Everybody turn up the radio.
Jeez.
You're going to see the one and only Doug Duda himself on TV tomorrow night.
Oh, good God.
Sports Extra. He's going to be sitting at the desk with Mr. Seth Denny and myself. We're going to break down all the high school action. Even got some, I think we're going to do about 6 or 7 games tonight. And if I can still guilt trip him, maybe he'll join me for a post-game show on Saturday. I don't think I'm going to get that, but we got him on Friday.
Seth Denny, my idol.
Yeah.
Hey, now, I saw last night the sports guy and the weather gal picture together. What's the deal with that? Did you catch that, Dave?
Hmm.
And it's the weekend weather gal.
Emily.
Emily, uh-huh. Yeah. Sorry. Uh-huh. She's like 4'1".
No, Dave's just really,
Dave's
really
six,
tall.
Six, 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 seven, six, right?
He played himself some men's volleyball
yeah.
back in the
well, how
day.
How tall is she? I mean, it looked like she was two feet shorter at
she's
least.
She's 5'4", about a foot shorter.
Can we get a picture of me and Seth tomorrow?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We'll get Seth to rock that red blazer. I know he's got it. I'll talk to him today, see if we can get the old red blazer on.
Greek was sporting the good look at the Wisconsin game.
Yeah.
That was strange. I didn't think he had any like Nebraska-esque gear.
You know where he actually got that from? He didn't. It wasn't even his. I think he got it from a friend. Maybe
another 6'6 dude?
Possibly.
I think you can find out more at Nebraska.tv. You can always find out a lot about our Facebook page, our podcast, what was going on with the Doug and Daddy Show on our webpage. Vote for our poll questions at ESPNSuperstation.com. Want to thank Luke Hoover answering all your fantasy football questions from RotoWire and the head football coach from Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Again, you can always hear any show on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tomorrow, Scott Powers from ESPN Chicago, plus Randy Bushcutter and Jim Langen in with Pigskin Pick'em. I'll be at State Cross Country, but don't forget, Pick'em tomorrow worth $140 in Cunningham's gift cards if you can beat us. We'll see you tomorrow. Radio, television, Spencer, thanks, man.
Hey, always a pleasure.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!